Right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're diving into something pretty important. I think a lot of folks don't think about this too much, but it has huge consequences, right? What happens when someone you trust to handle your finances, maybe under a power of attorney, what if they don't really act in your best interest? We're going to be using a case, a fascinating case, called In Re the Estate of Ferrara to unpack this.
It's one of those things, right? It's like you don't really think about it until it might be too late. You give someone the power to manage money, maybe because you're sick or maybe you're moving. You know, life happens.
Right.
And then what if they start using that money for themselves against your wishes, against your plans?
Right.
The Ferrara case, this gives us some really important legal guidance. Like, where's the line? Where's the boundary?
Yeah. And for this deep dive, you know, we've been digging through the appellate court's decision, looking at some really in-depth legal analysis, really trying to get to the core of, you know, the principles at play here for you. We're going to be looking at the story of George Ferrara, his nephew Dominic, and the Salvation Army. They were supposed to be the inheritors of his estate.
Right. And it's a really interesting case study because it shows how the law actually protects people in these kinds of situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start with George Ferrara. What did he want to do with his money? What was his plan?
Okay, so back in 1999, George is living in Florida, and he makes a will pretty straightforward, right? He says everything, his whole estate, is going to the Salvation Army. Pretty clear. Those were his wishes at the time.
Okay, so we've got the baseline, right? 1999, Florida, that's his intention for his estate. Now, fast forward a bit, things change a little bit. And that's where the power of attorney comes in.
Right. December 1999, George gets sick. He's hospitalized, then ends up moving to New York to be closer to family.
Makes sense.
It's in New York that he signs this thing called a New York statutory short form power of attorney.
Okay. Now, a statutory short form power of attorney, it's just a fancy way of saying it. It's like a standard legal document in New York that people use to give someone else the power to handle their money. But the thing is, with George, there was something extra in this document.
Okay, extra, like what?
It had what's called augmented gift-giving authority.
Augmented gift-giving, that sounds like it goes beyond just like managing bills, right? What exactly could Dominic do with that?
Well, basically it meant Dominic, George's nephew, could give himself unlimited gifts of George's money. So it wasn't just about, you know, paying the bills. It meant he could literally transfer George's assets as gifts to himself, and there was no limit.
Unlimited to himself. I mean, that's a lot of power. So what happened?
Here's the thing. And this is where it gets a bit sticky, legally speaking. Dominic, he moved fast. Like within weeks of signing this power of attorney, he had transferred, get this, $820,000. Of George's money directly to himself.
$820,000 in just a few weeks. Wow.
So what did that leave George with? I mean...
Yeah, so the court documents actually say that those transfers pretty much like virtually impoverished George. Basically, a huge chunk of his wealth just vanished. It went straight to Dominic.
And then I'm assuming George passes away not long after.
Sadly, yeah.
And the Salvation Army, remember, they were supposed to inherit everything.
So right.
They find out about this, about all this money being moved around. What was their reaction?
Well, initially they had no clue. But they find George's will from 1999, right?
Yeah.
The one saying everything goes to them.
Right.
And they're like, wait a minute, where'd all the money go? Naturally, they started asking questions and eventually challenged the whole power of attorney thing. Like, was it even valid? Was it used properly?
Yeah, I bet. And so the big question in this whole legal battle was, even though Dominic had this, you know, augmented gift-giving authority, did he still have a responsibility to act in George's best interest? Like, legally, was he obligated to do that? Exactly. And that's the heart of the matter. Now, the lower court, they actually sided with Dominic. They probably focused on that really explicit language in the POA about giving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But the appellate court, they saw it differently. They reversed that decision, and they really focused on this concept of fiduciary duty.
Okay, fiduciary duty. Now, that sounds like a pretty legal term. Maybe break that down for us. What does that actually mean?
So think of it this way. It's a legal obligation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it means you got to act in the other person's best interest. It's about being loyal, acting in good faith. So when you're acting as someone's fiduciary, like under a power of attorney, you can't put your own needs before theirs.
Right. It's about trust, responsibility, all that good stuff.
Exactly. So even with this power to give gifts, Dominic was still bound by this duty to act in George's best interest.
I see. And the court specifically looked at this New York law, General Obligations Law, Section 5100-1202, I believe.
Yep, 514N2M.
What does that tell us about all this?
Okay, so this New York law is really important because it talks specifically about giving gifts when you have a power of attorney. Basically, it sets this best interest standard. So even if the POA says you can give gifts, like Dominic's did, you still can't just do whatever you want. You still have to act in the best interest of the person who gave you the POA. That duty, it trumps everything.
I see. So even with broad language, the fiduciary duty still holds.
Absolutely. The law recognizes that. And the court really honed in on the fact that what Dominic did completely contradicted what George wanted. You know, his will from 99, leaving everything to the Salvation Army.
Right. So Dominic basically used the POA to undo George's wishes.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's a big red flag for the court. Like, was this really in George's best interest? Or was Dominic just looking out for himself?
And did the court find any benefit to George from these, you know, these huge money transfers?
Nope. The court specifically said there was no good reason for these transfers, like tax planning or anything like that. It looked like pure personal gain for Dominic.
Wow. And the court actually had a really strong statement about this, they said, and I'm quoting here. The term best interest doesn't include unqualified generosity to the agent, especially when it undermines the principal's estate plan.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful quote, right? The court's basically saying a power of attorney, even one with these broad powers, isn't a free-for-all. It's not a license to just take whatever you want.
So the bottom line is a POA is for helping someone carry out their wishes, not changing those wishes for your own benefit.
Exactly. And in this case, the lower court got it wrong. But the appellate court, they set things straight.
So what was the final ruling and what should we take away from this whole case?
So the appellate court, they reversed the lower court's decision, which was huge. They basically said that even with this augmented gift-giving authority, Dominic still had to act in George's best interest. It doesn't matter what the POA says, that duty always applies.
So when we talk about best interest in a situation like this with gift giving, what does that actually look like?
Well, the court said these powers should be used to benefit the person who gave you the POA. Maybe it's for tax planning, maybe it's to support someone they've always cared about, or maybe it's to make sure their will is carried out properly. It's definitely not about making yourself rich, especially if it goes against what they wanted.
So you can't just use a POA to completely ignore a will and move assets around for your own gain.
Exactly. The court was very clear about that.
Yeah.
You got to respect what the person wanted, especially if they wrote it down in a will. And if you don't, the courts are going to scrutinize everything very, very carefully.
And what happens to someone who violates this fiduciary duty, like Dominic did in this case? What are the consequences?
Well, the appellate court, they didn't actually order Dominic to give the money back, not right then and there. They sent the case back to the lower court. But given their ruling, it's very likely Dominic's going to have to return that $820,000 he took. It shows how seriously the courts take this duty.
Wow. It seems like the big takeaway here is no matter how much power a power of attorney might give you, there's always this limit. You always have to act in the best interest of the person who gave you that power.
Exactly. Fiduciary duties, they're there to protect people, especially those who might be vulnerable because of their age, or maybe they're sick or far away. It's all about making sure those powers are used responsibly, not for personal gain.
This case really throws a spotlight on an important lesson for anyone who might be giving someone a power of attorney or anyone who might be asked to be that person.
Absolutely. The Ferrara case, it reminds us that even powers that seem unlimited are actually not. They're limited by this duty to act in the best interest of the other person, and that comes first, before anything else.
It really makes you think, if you were giving someone a power of attorney, what kind of safeguards would you want to put in place? Just to make sure your wishes are followed, your assets are protected?
That's a crucial question, right? It all starts with picking someone you really trust. Someone's going to put you first. Sometimes, you know, you might even want to consider a professional, depending on the situation. It's really important to understand exactly what powers you're giving away, especially anything about giving gifts. And you got to keep checking, keep reviewing your will, your POA, make sure they still reflect what you want.
Yeah, stay on top of it.
You might even want to put specific limits
in
the POA document itself. Or maybe require regular reports from the person you've given the power to.
Right.
Just being proactive, thinking things through, that can really go a long way in protecting yourself.
Great advice and a really important topic. Thanks for breaking all that down for us.
Absolutely. Always happy to be here.
And thanks to all of you for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.